Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Maiocco.
The 49ers enter the bye week after experiencing their first victory of the season, a 31-21 win over the New York Giants. Rookie quarterback C.J. Beathard had his best game as a pro, throwing for two touchdowns and running for another, and he is my guest this week on the 49ers Insider Podcast. C.J. comes from a very interesting family. His father, Bobby Beathard, is a legendary football executive who is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a contributor. CJ's dad, Casey, is an accomplished country music songwriter with five number one singles to his credit, and CJ's brother, Tucker, is a singer and songwriter. I'll talk to CJ about taking over as the 49ers' starting quarterback and his reaction to hearing the news from Coach Kyle Shanahan 2 weeks ago that the club had acquired Jimmy Garoppolo in a trade with the New England Patriots. After I talk with CJ, I'll discuss the current state of the 49ers with former Pro Bowl quarterback Jeff Garcia. But right now, here's my conversation with C.J. Beathard. Well, C.J., it's the bye week, the Monday after the bye. A lot of your teammates are probably have flights getting out of here. I want to thank you for sitting down and joining me on the 49ers Insider Podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Now, do you have any plans? Are you going to be sticking in the area, or are you going to go somewhere?
I'll be here for a couple of days, and then I'll leave on Thursday to go back to Iowa. I'm going back to the Iowa-Purdue game, so...
So that will you be able to work? Do you work with coaches, or are you just kind of hanging out here for a while?
I'll be here getting treatment, working out a little bit, definitely watching some film, but definitely going to take a couple of days to kind of relax a little bit.
And how is your body? I know you took some hits for a couple of weeks there. Sunday was a pretty good day. No sacks, only a couple quarterback hits. How are you feeling physically?
No, I feel great physically. I mean, this is one of the best games that I felt coming out. Felt really good after the game. Not too sore today. Obviously my thumb hurts, but other than that, I feel really healthy.
Well, you're holding the mic with your thumb.
That's so right. I know. Yeah. I you got to be able to throw with your thumb too. I was able to do that, so it's not too bad.
And one of the things I heard about you was, even during the time in training camp when you weren't getting, all the reps and the first part of the regular season, was that you spent a lot of time in that virtual reality room.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you had done before, or is this something new since coming to the 49ers?
No, it's something new. I'd never, even tried it until I got here to the 49ers. Nobody had it in college, and it's something. It's an extra tool to help you get better, and especially when you're not getting those reps, the first team reps, like it wasn't in camp, and then early in the year, it's nice to watch it from kind of a. For a first-person perspective, and kind of get those reps as much as you can.
Can you explain a little bit about what it is and what it enables you to do?
Yeah, so I'm sure you've seen the virtual reality headset things where you can watch movies, you turn your head around, and it's like you're there. We have a guy that sets a tripod up at practice every team period, and right behind the center, but 15 yards back. And
behind the quarterback,
15 yards back, so it doesn't get in the way of practice, and it kind of sits there, and you can kind of visualize things. When you watch film, it's from a higher bird's eye view, and when you're doing the virtual reality, it's more of in the pocket, kind of seeing exactly what the quarterback's going through.
So you can virtually go through your reads and read defenses and do everything that you can do when you're out there except for the physical, taking your drops and throwing the ball?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, it's not near getting the reps, but it's as close as they have to it right now with this modern technology. I mean, I definitely, you know, like it, but you know, I'm old fashioned at the same time. There's nothing like watching just film on practice on games at the same time.
Since your game reps and practice reps have increased, has your virtual reality time decreased?
I'd say it has decreased a little bit, but I definitely get in there every week and watch it. I mean, during camp, I usually did all the reps that Brian was getting. I would get in there and watch those. But it is nice when you're actually getting the reps in practice. But I still do look at it each week.
The word on you is that, you know, you're a bright guy. You've been around the game of football. You know the game of football. Has there been anything in particular since you made that transition from college to the NFL that is kind of, you know, maybe you weren't prepared for, you didn't really realize just how big of a jump it was?
No, there's nothing really that stuck out to me. I mean, obviously I knew going into it that it was a big jump. It's the best of the best in the entire world. The speed of the game is a lot quicker, that's for sure. Defenses do, you know, disguise coverages better, and guys are just smarter out there. Guys that you're playing against are better players, and nothing that's jumped out to me that I wasn't prepared for. I knew that going into it that would be the case, but I've definitely learned a lot over the past 9-10 weeks, and we'll continue to learn.
We'll talk a little bit more about just how the season is going and you guys heading into the bye week with a victory. But I wanted to touch a little bit on your family. Of course, everybody knows that your grandfather is up for the Hall of Fame, and he'll certainly be getting my vote on the Saturday before the Super Bowl.
Awesome.
At what point in your growing up did you realize that your grandfather, Bobby Beathard, is a legend when it comes to being an NFL executive?
It's funny because I talk to my brothers, and growing up, we just grew up around it, being at the Chargers facility, the Atlanta Falcons facility, being around guys like Junior Seau, Rodney Harrison, and kind of growing up in it, going to practices, being in the locker rooms. I didn't even know who my grandpa was. Just knew that he had the hookup to go to the Chargers practice today. You know, we didn't know. I guess we knew he was a GM. I didn't know what the heck that meant back then when I was young. I think more towards high school, when I got into high school, I started realizing like how big of a deal he was and how, you know, great he was at what he did. And, you know, people told me all the time, hey, your grandpa's a legend. Your grandpa's a legend. But I just knew him for the great grandfather he was to me. I never looked at him like a coach, a GM. I never wanted his, hey, grandpa, what do you think? What's your vision on me as a player? He's a loving grandpa, just like anybody else's grandfather is to them, and that's the thing I love about him the most.
Are there Super Bowl rings around, or at his house, or is there anything? Who was that who popped by?
Joe Staley.
Joe Staley. Okay, perfect. Yeah.
He actually, he's got seven rings, and four winning rings. He's won four Super Bowls, and so they're at his house, and I've gotten to try those on and look at them all, and they're all so cool. They're all, there's a multitude of teams. There's a Dolphins one on there, a couple of Redskins, Chargers, and then the Chiefs one when he's a scout with the Chiefs. So they're just all really cool to look at.
And did you ever say, hey, Grandpa, would you mind watching my film and telling me what you think?
No, really? I never really. No, I mean, obviously, he always would say stuff, man. You're going to be great. You're doing a great job. I think this, that, but never got into the fact like, hey, you need to work on this. You need to work on that. He just told me, he would tell me things that some of the greats did, and luckily enough for me, I was able to be around my favorite player of all, Junior Seau, and see how he worked. And my grandpa would tell me what he did, the work ethic he did, and the kind of guy he was, and how everyone looked up to him and everyone respected him, and that's just how I wanted to be, it's been a dream of mine since I was a kid.
I mean, you've been around celebrities your entire life, in mostly, I guess, probably in the music industry. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in Nashville?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so your father, Casey, tell everybody what your father does.
Yeah, my dad is a country music songwriter. So he's written a lot of hit songs in Nashville that I'm sure, if you're a country music fan, you've heard.
Kenny Chesney,
Billy
Ray Cyrus, George Strait,
Eric Church, George Strait. He's written, you know, a lot of hits. That's for sure. He's one of the best in, you know, in the business at what he does.
And he's 2-time songwriter of the year.
Yep.
So did you? I mean, so you saw these people. You saw these music legends, and did it any carryover? Anything that you could see, like the crossover? I mean, you have an athletic family, you have a music family, your brother Tucker's a star too. Is there any crossover? Is there anything that you can kind of connect the dots of the similarities between, you know, the entertainment business and football?
I think, there's definitely some similarities. I mean, it takes a lot of hard work to get to where you are, no matter what you are, whether you're a songwriter, an entertainer, a football player, whatever it is, and you don't get there just by luck. And I think that's one thing I learned from my dad. My dad started, he moved to Nashville with no money, no nothing. Moved to Nashville. He worked at the Bluebird. Was his first job. He was washing dishes. He was a dishwasher at the Bluebird.
That's where everybody gets
discovered,
right? That's
like the biggest. It's one of the biggest. You know, people go to Nashville. They want to go to the Bluebird. It's a big time. Mm-hmm. So writers play there. Artists play there. It's a, you know, laid back. It's a cool thing. And then some nights they would have open mic night where my dad would go up and play some of the stuff that he played, and that's what he did. Some of the stuff he wrote, and that's what he did for a long time. Then finally got a break and got a cut from a Kenny Chesney cut, one that no one would know. And then they just kind of started piling up, stacking after that. And I think that's where the biggest thing is just working hard. And, you know, my brother Tucker has been working his butt off for the last, you know, ever since he was a kid. He was so talented, an artist, and he's working, you know, his butt off now trying to get an album out there. And I think that's how it is. And if you want to be successful at anything,
are you musically inclined at all?
I actually play the guitar. Yeah, me and my two brothers, Tucker and Clay, we had a rock band growing up where we played some fundraiser type things, some charity deals. I played guitar. I was a singer, and Tucker played drums, and my other brother played guitar also. And we wrote our own stuff, and played it a few times. It was awesome.
Is there anything on YouTube that we can find?
I don't know. There might be from a middle school talent show that I think is on YouTube.
Yeah, Dan's over here saying yes.
Yeah,
there's stuff out there.
I've seen that a couple times, but my mom's got the videos of the other shows. I don't know if she could find them, but
Was there ever a point where it could go either way? I want to be, you know, the music as my profession or sports as my profession.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where that I knew that I thought that, you know, my dad was a really good support. You know, he had an end to music with us, and he told us if me, Tucker, and Clay, if we found a bass player and put together a list of 5 songs that we wrote and were good enough written songs that weren't a waste of time, he would take us to the studio and record them and see where that went. But, you know, football has always been my passion growing up. I love playing music, playing the guitar, but there's nothing like being able to compete and the feeling of winning and then the opposite feeling of losing. It makes you want to win that much more. And you get that an adrenaline rush, you know, doing shows and playing music. But it's different, and you know, I just always wanted to play football.
Have you ever been starstruck by anyone you've met, or is it just kind of like it's part of who you've been growing up that you see that, you know, these famous people?
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever been starstruck. I've been around a lot of, you know, people, but famous people in my life. But at the end of the day, you realize they're just people at the same time. You know, when, you know, we all die and go to heaven, you know, they're nothing different. You don't get anything better in heaven because you're famous. You know, it's all about, you know, how you are on earth and how you treat people.
I don't want to put you on the spot here because I know these are politically charged times, but very strange, or I don't know, it was just kind of weird, you know, back in January when Donald Trump singles you out and calls you the next Tom Brady. Had to have just completely caught you off guard.
No, that was cool. I mean, it was anytime somebody says something like that, you know, comparing you to the greatest of all time is cool. Obviously, It was nice of him to say, but I thought it was pretty cool.
And so you come to the NFL under the radar for a lot of people, I think, mm-hmm. because at Iowa you weren't throwing the ball around 50 times. Yeah. You weren't putting up the ungodly stats that a lot of these guys are. Mm-hmm. So did that work to your advantage that you were in that kind of pro style offense and you weren't, it was an offense that more closely resembles what you'd be playing at this level?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what I looked for coming out of high school. I wanted to play in a system that was a pro style system. That's one thing I did get from my grandpa. Actually, he told me, if you want to play at the next level, you'd be better off going to a place where they have a pro-style offense, just because, it's so hard to judge things and scout things when you're in a spread offense where you throw it all the time. There's so many offenses where it doesn't matter who you put in there, they're going to throw for – you throw the ball 60 times a game, you're going to throw for a ton of yards and some touchdowns. But, I think being able to play in a system where you break a huddle, you call the play, you're under center – you're making checks at the line of scrimmage, and I think that really helped me and has helped me in the long run.
And you've already experienced a lot of the business side of this. Mm-hmm. You won a spot, beating out, in essence, Matt Barkley, mm-hmm. For a roster spot, and then the 49ers made the decision to go with you, mm-hmm. Over Brian Hoyer in that game against Washington. What was that like for you to be in that mindset? And it's been a long time since you've been on the bench for games, yeah. or on the sideline for games, to be able to step in a moment's notice and become, the guy, the quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's a big part about being a pro. It's just being ready at all times. When you're a backup quarterback, backup any position, you're a play away. So you have to prepare throughout the week like you're going to start. And luckily. Washington week, I prepared that way as if I was going to be the guy because you're a play away, I was able to go into that game and unfortunately we didn't get the win, but from that point on, the practices have been different. I've been getting the reps in practice, which has been nice, but you just got to prepare when you're the number two guy to be ready at all times.
And now you're the number one guy, and then 2 Mondays ago you get a phone call from Kyle.
Yeah.
Tell me, was that on your cell? You could see it was Kyle calling. Mm-hmm. What was that phone call like?
Obviously it was it was my first taste of the whole business side of things. So, at the end of the day, NFL is a business, and was I a little shocked at first? Like, yeah, I
was. We're talking about the trade.
Yeah, the trade.
The 49ers had traded to acquire Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, was I shocked at first? Yeah, but. I had good conversation with Kyle, all week throughout that. And, he said, made it clear it had nothing to do with the previous weeks. It was just an opportunity to make, the team better and make a quarterback room better. And there's nothing better than, good competition. And I think competition brings out the best in anyone. And not only anyone, but, Jimmy, he's a good guy. I said this before, but it'd be different if he was a guy that was, cocky and, a guy that nobody liked, but that's not the case. He's a nice guy, and it's been cool getting to work with him.
So this was before the news broke that the trade had gone down, that you heard it? I mean, you heard about it first through Kyle?
Yeah, I did.
And so does he – he calls you to make sure that your first thought, you're hearing it from him, so before you could even think, is this an indictment on me, he tells you it's not.
So
that eases your mind right away.
Yeah, definitely. And I trust him and I believe him. And, we had meetings, one-on-one meetings weeks before that, just kind of talking about going into the next week. This was before the whole Jimmy thing happened. And there were really positive meetings and good stuff went on. So I trusted that, what he said. And, I believe in him and John.
Do you think ahead to next year or even, after the bye week about what your role is and how do you and Jimmy work together and is there competition? How do you view that?
I don't really look that far. Definitely not the next year. I'm really just focused on right now is kind of relaxing. It's bye week. It's nice to have a couple of days off and unwind a little bit. But, our next game is Seattle and Yeah, I'm going to do my best to help the team win and give ourselves the best chance to win. And yeah, I trust, you know, Kyle's decision and John's decision. And, you know, I want to help this team win and get more wins down the road. And I'm just going to keep going to work and trying to get better. I think, you know, I've learned a lot the last 4 weeks and got better as a player. And I just want to continue to work and get better.
Well, you guys did win on Sunday against the New York Giants, and you had a very good day throwing, running, everything. There's one of your teammates that I don't know how he showed up to the game yesterday, Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah.
Did you – I think you rode in the same bus as Marquise.
Did
you know what was going on?
I had no clue, man. That shows a lot about who he is, man. He's a great dude, and the fact that he was able to overcome that – I mean, the night before, I didn't even really – he probably didn't sleep. I mean, I'm sure he had got no sleep the night before and went out and played. And, you know, there's a lot of guys in that situation that, you know, wouldn't have been able to do that. But he – showed a lot to us, the fight, the tough guy that he is. You know, just, you know, my prayers have been with him and his family, and I can't even imagine going through that. But yeah, he's just a genuine dude, and it was awesome to have him have that, you know, big touchdown like that there.
Did you find out about it during the game or before?
Until after the game.
Really?
I didn't know until after the game, and. Yeah, it was sad when I found out.
And so, I mean, everything came together on that long pass, the 83-yarder to Marquise. The blocking up front was great. The blitz pickup from Garrett and Carlos was great. Yeah. Great throw, great catch, broke a tackle. And then, you know, when you watch the replay, you see what he did after he crossed the goal line. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I mean, it breaks your heart to see, you know, how he responded, or just, you know, the how much it meant to him. To be part of that has to be special.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I think it meant a ton to him, and you see that when he crosses the goal line, and he just kind of releases. It's like he releases all the – he just releases it, and it was an emotional moment for him especially, and now knowing what he went through the night before, that's, you know, I'm glad I was a part of that. And the way that play worked out, like you said, Carlos and Selick did a great job picking up the blitzes there, and the line gave me time. And Marquise did a great job finishing the play, and, you know, he deserves that, and, you know, I'm really happy for him.
And so you get the win, Kyle Shanahan's first win, a lot of fun in that locker room after the game. How exciting was it to be part of that and see, you know, I'm sure nobody in that locker room expected it to be week 10 before you get their first win, but to finally have that release.
Oh, it's awesome, man. It was, you know, a great feeling. There's nothing like, you know, winning in anything. And getting that win, you know, yesterday was a great feeling. Great for Kyle and John and this team. And it just shows the fight that these guys have. I mean, yeah, it hasn't been a great year so far. We've been so close, and the fact that we go out to work and no one bats an eye, no one on the team is doubting what's going on, and we all trust the process, trust coaches, and trusting each other, and that's what this team's about.
Does it give you guys even more enthusiasm for, you know, to come back after the bye week and finish this thing off with your final six games?
Yeah, I mean, we've got six games left, and we want to finish the season off on the right note. And I think, you know, that was a good start, obviously getting this win. And, you know, we want to get, you know, a lot more wins here before the season's over. And, you know, our next opportunity is Seattle. And, you know, we're going to give it everything we got to beat those guys.
All right. Well, CJ, enjoy your bye week. Enjoy watching your alma mater play. Is it at Purdue or at?
It's home. It's home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So enjoy your bye week, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
A big thanks to CJ Beathard for joining me on the 49ers Insider Podcast. And now we talk to former 49ers Pro Bowl quarterback and current NBC Sports Bay Area analyst Jeff Garcia to break it all down. CJ Beathard played an outstanding game. He played well. Completion percentage, made the throws down the field, did everything you'd want, avoided sacks. Kyle Shanahan has a decision to make. You know, with Jimmy Garoppolo, will be around another couple of weeks. 49ers don't play until November 26th. What do you do? Jimmy Garoppolo stay on the sideline now, ride the hot hand? How do you think they play this?
Yes, that's going to be an interesting decision by Coach Shanahan. To me, I look at how my young quarterback played today, and I like what he did. I liked how he utilized his feet, his athletic ability. I liked his timing. His accuracy was on point. He's continuing to evolve in the system. He's maturing on a weekly basis. He's taking his licks, but keeps getting back up and just battling. And you like having that type of mentality on your team and that type of guy in your locker room. And so I don't think you can necessarily take that away from him right now, especially since you have another quarterback that's still learning. He's still in the process. And I think that at some point, and whether it's Seattle or the next week, you start to sprinkle in opportunities for Jimmy, but I don't think you're forced to start him right now. I think you wait until your situation is even better with him mentally and physically.
I bet you love this, because Beathard scored the touchdown, kind of, you know, put the 49ers up by a couple scores, hurt his hand, but did not want to come out of the game because he wanted to take snaps in victory formation. You got to be able to appreciate a guy who's, I'm not coming out of the lineup. I want to be on the field when this game ends.
Oh, absolutely. We saw him getting worked on, looking at his right thumb on his throwing hand, and Jimmy got up and started warming up, and you started to wonder, is this the time where the change happens? And good for CJ, though, to battle through it and stay in the game and finish the game. And yes, I mean, he's a young man, but he's been around the game his entire life and having it in his family, and he knows what it takes to win football games, and he knows that there's been some adversity and some struggles and some battles, but you got to keep fighting, and that's what he does.
So the 49ers have the bye week, their bye week. And like you mentioned, young team, a lot of these guys haven't experienced victory before. As a veteran, how do you approach bye week? You know, you've been through a lot of bye weeks. What's the mindset, both, you know, in what you want to do physically during a bye week?
Well, you really got have to let your body recover in a lot of ways. But that being said, this is a physical game. And you get a mindset, and you work on that mindset week in and week out, and you know you have to step up to the challenge. I almost was not a fan of bye weeks, and I understand that because of the physicality, you need that break, and it's probably good for you, but you have a mental toughness that you've built up throughout the season. You don't want to lose that edge, and not to say that it's going to happen in just 1 week. I think with this team and being a young team, they need to learn how to handle this time off and do it constructively. I think a lot of guys will head back home and see families and those sort of things, and that's fine, but don't lose sight of your body and taking care of your body. Hey, get your workouts in. If you're going to a 24-hour fitness in your hometown or whatever it may be, then that's what you have to do, because it's important to keep that edge going. Don't lose sight of that, because, hey, there's still a lot of football left to be played in the remainder of the season.
It's got to be great for Kyle Shanahan to get that first win, and you were able to talk a little bit to Kyle after this game. You've known him for years. What's kind of your, you know, kind of reading him today, how he handled this win, how important it was for him to get that monkey off his back?
Sure. He was excited. You could tell he was excited. He appreciates the support that he's been getting through this difficult time. They also realized that this was not going to be an easy fix, that they were going to go through the transition, that they were going to go through some bodies, and they've had to go through a lot more bodies than I think he anticipated. And I asked him about that. You've had a lot of young guys that are getting reps out there that you didn't think would probably getting reps right now, but it's lending to great experience for those guys. And I think he's getting an opportunity, not that it's the one that he wanted, but he's getting to see a lot of different faces play the game, and whether those guys will be able to be a part of this team in the future or not. I mean, it's an interview process. And so I think it is a huge weight off his shoulders. You know, I'm sure there's not a lot of sleep going on in that facility right now, especially with the coaching staff. So hopefully he can get a little bit of a break this week and then get back at it to grind out these last 6 weeks and get some more wins.
Where do they go from here? What do you want to see from them after they come back from the bye?
Well, hey, continue to compete at a high level. I mean, I think that's one of the things that you've seen this young team. They've battled every single week, whether they were capable of overcoming the challenge in some of these games. They've continued to battle, and I think they've continued to learn how to compete and play together and better themselves. You know, defensively, I thought they did some good things today. You have some young defensive backs that are back there, still probably missing some assignments and not always aligning properly, but they're competing. They're getting after the football, and they're going to create more turnovers. They're creating pressure. They're doing some things. Foster playing a full game. We didn't see him go down on the ground today, which was a good thing. And you heard his name being called an awful lot because he's a playmaker. He's in on plays. He's active, and that's great to see. So, you know, with this team and the young faces and the growing up, hey, I just want to see him continue to improve and eliminate the mistakes, the dumb penalties, the attention to detail, which is always talked about in football locker rooms. Continue to hone in on that, because that's going to help you win football games. Being 66% on third down helps you win football games. Being a 70% passer in completions helps you win football games. Those sort of things are contributing, and rushing for over 100 yards as a team is going to help you win football games.
All right, Jeff, and I will see you back here November 26th when the Seattle Seahawks come to town.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com.